الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ومن يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, most certainly every single one of us knows the people in the past, the people of this time, and the people in future. Most certainly all of them knew in the past, we know in the present, and in future the others will also know that we have come into this world for a very short time. It's unfortunate that the glitter and the glamour and the adornments in different forms in this world, they distract us continuously. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif has mentioned, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned to Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he, the instruction is to him, the instruction is from Allah to the greatest creation, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That wadhakir, how we translate this word is continuously remind. It's not just once off. Remind and it's over. All of us, every single one of us needs, we all need reminders. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer, he has instructed Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continuously remind. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Why? Most certainly, reminders are beneficial to those who have iman, and Muslims, mu'mineen, they are beneficial for us. As I've said in the past, and I'm saying it again, even if you heard one topic, and one discussion, or one hadith, or one Quran Sharif ayat, 120 times, we should think this to be something beneficial to us. In contrast to what many people today make these claims that are nothing but baseless claims, or you can call it claims of those people that are foolish people. I heard this before, I have to hear it again. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran Sharif, who are we then to say that a reminder is beneficial to those of iman? If a person, the Mufassirin have mentioned in the Quran Sharif, on the commentary of this ayat, that if a person says that I do not benefit, I as a Muslim do not benefit from a reminder, especially when it comes to a dini reminder, then that person's iman is of a very low level, very weak level. So if a person has strong iman, a true mu'min, true faith in Allah, true belief, he will consider reminders, as I said, can be 120 times beneficial for himself. Who is saying this? Allah Ta'ala in the Quran. So we need this constantly. The glitter and the glamour of the world will distract us. But when we get these reminders, they are refreshers for us. That is why we find every year, when it comes to around this time, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, we are constantly reminded about the love, the true love of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something that we should cherish, something we should look forward to at all times, and something that we should introspect our lives at all times. To what level are we true lovers of him? In one hadith in Bukhari, it is mentioned, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he gives the example of us, his ummatis and his followers, in comparison to the people of the past. كَرَجُلٍ إِسْتَعْمَلَ عُمَّالًا. He gives the similitude, the resemblance and example. And as I said, if you heard this before, it's a reminder and a refresher to all of us. Of one employer with three employees. This employer, the first employee, he keeps him, he employs him from the morning till around midday. And he pays him a certain wage. In those days, there were dirhams, dinars. Even today we find few places around the world. But that was the dominant currency at that time. And also there was one form of currency in those times in Arabic called qirat. Five letter word, qaf, ya, ra, alif, ta. Qirat. So the person that worked in the morning till midday, he was paid a wage of one qirat. For our understanding purposes, he was paid 100 rands. Just for us to understand it. The second worker works from midday till around asar time. Asar salat. He's paid the same wage as the first. But the third employee, the third worker, he works from around asar time till sunset, till around maghrib time. And for that, he's paid double. His wage and his remuneration is double of the first two. They were paid one qirat. Our understanding purposes, 100 rand and 100 rand. This person, short time, but he's paid 200 rand. Two qirat. This is the example he gives us to simplify for us. This is our example as his ummatis, the ummatis and the followers of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Short lives. Short lives. Asr to Maghrib, in comparison to the people of the past, Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and like that so many, where they lived long lives, but their thawab and rewards and remuneration in this world and akhirat was lesser. We have short lives, can be 50, 60, 70, sometimes people don't even see those ages, those years. But our rewards are magnified, are doubled, are increased in comparison to the people of the past. Now in the short life, as I was speaking from the beginning till now about our short lives, we all have certainty. So many janazas around us. Last week a youngster, approximately 25 years old, and we hear the stories all the time, just fell backwards, hurt his head, and next thing he was gone. Person just had, couldn't breathe properly, and a few moments he was admitted in hospital and he was gone. Like that, so many things are happening around us. Take lessons from this in terms of the shortness of our life. What we need to do in the short life is maximize. But this word maximized has been exaggerated to that level that we only limit it to the world. Make the best of the world. We are allowed to use the things of the world, but obviously within certain parameters and limits. But maximize to attain the barakah, the blessings and divine mercy from Allah, the rahmah, the thawab, the rewards in this world and the hereafter especially. And one of the ways, I'm linking it to what pertinent and apt to the month that we are in, Muharram, now is Safar, then is Rabiul Awwal. That we hold on the sunnah tariqah, the sunnah way, the sunnah lifestyle of Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by doing so, that barakah will come in our lives. We will see it definitely, most certainly. We will see it in this world too. We will see it in the hereafter also. The famous example and the story that we've heard, as I said, maybe 120 times, about when Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all know he was a yatim. He was an orphan. When those women that normally used to be, look after children, breastfeed the children, etc., they came to Makkah Mukarramah to take the children, they be paid to look after the children. They all, many of them came from the outer parts of Makkah Sharif to the city. They were looking for rich families. Why they get payments, extra payments. Who wanted to take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was an orphan. Who will pay that woman? At the end, he was the last child left. Halima Saadia, she took him, despite whatever the circumstances were, of payment, etc. She took him. And from the time she took him and she mounted her modes of transport back to a place, she saw the barakah in her life. Immediately. That camel or that modes of transport became even more healthier than before. Began traveling faster than those other animals. Wherever that animal went, while she was seated, would that orphan Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam child, there was lushness, greenness, barakah. And like that she witnessed so much of more barakat and so much of blessings in her life. Lesson for us. She was holding the Prophet in her hand as a small child, orphan child. If we adopt his lifestyle and his ways in every facet and walk of our life, inshallah, in this world we will also see it. And especially on that day. Brothers, today we've adopted the lives of the Yahud and Nasara. No doubt how we've adopted the lives of our enemies. Practical life today. We have adopted their ways, their mannerisms, their thoughts, their systems. Whereas the Sunnah way, the way taught to us by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is ever encompassing of every facet and walk of our life. Unfortunately today, brothers, the truth, the reality, practicality, the practical thing on the ground, we have understood deen to just be in a masjid. I come to the masjid, I'm a Muslim. Friday, I'm a Muslim. Ramadan, I'm a Muslim. Other aspects of our life, of our business, of our profession, of marital life in our own homes, of our character, of our dealings, of our social interaction with people, Muslim and non-Muslim, of rights of neighbors. Like that, the list continues. Unfortunately, brothers, the truth is that we have excluded deen, the teachings of Quran Sharif, and the Sunnah way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from all these aspects of life. Time and again we hear the statement, and I am a witness to this myself, سَمِعَتُ أُذُنَايَ وَوَعَاهُ قَلْبِي, where a person told me, Mufti Sahib, do not speak to me. Do not speak to me about the Sunnah. Do not speak to me about deen and Islam in my business. I am a witness myself to this, brothers. And not one, several have said this. Don't speak to me about deen and about the Sunnah way in my home, in my marriage, in my inheritance and will, in my distribution of assets, in my partnerships, in my profession. Who are we? Who are we to exclude deen from all these aspects of life? Islam is not a unilateral religion. It's a collateral religion. What I mean by this is ever encompassing of every facet and walk of our life. And if we adopt the Sunnah way, Rabiul Awwal is on our doorstep. We adopt the Sunnah way in every aspect of our life. We will find that barakah in this world. We all want barakat. Time and again we find people will write to us, ask us, phone us. I want barakat in my life. I don't have barakat in my home. My home is Jahannam on earth. It's like hell on earth. I don't have barakat in my business, in my profession. Brothers, if you're not going to adopt the teaching of Quran and Hadith, the barakat will definitely go out. And then we are the first ones who will experience it our own self. If we bring the Sunnah life, if we bring the teaching of Quran and Hadith in every facet and walk of our life, the barakah will most certainly come. Tests will still come. Trials and tribulations will still come. but the barakat, the happiness, the contentment, peace of heart, and like that, whatever else comes with it, would most certainly come. I do not say this, brothers. I am telling you what Quran and Hadith has taught us. What Allah Ta'ala, who is the one who gives the barakat, the one who puts the sweetness, the one who puts the contentment and happiness and joy, He is the one who has mentioned it Himself. And we have to believe in what He's told us and what He has instructed us. So as followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us adopt this sunnah lifestyle in every facet and walk of our life. Today, as I said, we've adopted the ways of those enemies that are our enemies. They are all our enemies. And they are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to know which team we're supporting. Which team is on? What is happening? We would dress ourselves and dress our children, and like that, so many people around us would pride in a way that sometimes a person will look worse than even a clown. Will wear clothes that will have colors more disgraceful or more laughable than even a circus tent. Such hairstyles, such clothing. And then after that, we still want the barakat. We still want the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why, brothers, the ulama, in a few minutes left, I will mention the 7 rites quickly that all of us have to adopt in our lives as being the true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One being of iman, true belief in him, his prophethood, and the finality of his prophethood. Second being muhabbat, true love. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. In Arabic, the poet says that who is a true lover? You tell your child you love me. You tell your spouse you love me. You tell the people around me, do you love me? Who is a true lover? The people closest to him at that time was Sahaba radiallahu anhu. I can mention so many stories, time is limited. How they depicted, how they showed, it was an avowed feature, something clear in their lives, of how they had true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by way of obedience. So one is the belief, second is the love, but love is by way of obedience, the third being ita'at, obedience of him. Our homes, our dressing, our mindset, our professions, our business dealings, when he's told us this is how you deal, this is how you buy, this is how you sell, it's not just eating and drinking and sleeping. Sunnah way is there only. Every aspect of our lives. By way of obedience. خِيَالُكَ فِي عَيْنِي وَذِكُكَ فِي فَمِي وَمَثْوَاكَ فِي قَلْبِي فَأَيْنَ تَغِيبُ. In Arabic, the poet says, he says that I love you so much. Now this is obviously some illicit beloved of his. خِيَالُكَ فِي عَيْنِي. In my eyes I can see you all the time. ذِكُكَ فِي فَمِي. I'm mentioning you verbally all the time. مَثْوَاكَ فِي قَلْبِي. Your abode is in my heart. You are settled in my heart. أَيْنَ تَغِيبُ. Where are you going? Where are you disappearing? I want you all the time. And this is the love we should have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not just lip service. Today we see we عَاشِقَانَ رَسُولُ مُحِبَّانَ رَسُولُ. We're just his lovers. But we'll have some program. We'll praise him a bit. We'll do a few functions. We'll mention a few things about him. After that, what happens? What dressing we have? The next day, watch Fajr Salah. What happens in those same places, in our own lifestyle, in our own homes? The same person was praising so much, he went home. How he deals with his wife? How he deals with his children? How he deals with his parents? How he deals with his customers? How when it comes to his dealings of debtor and creditor? Is he paying his dues? How he made his will, Islamic and Islamic? And like that, the list continues. Every aspect of our life. So one is the love, but the love translated by a form of obedience. The fourth being, azmat and respect. Never ever despise, never ever mock, never ever disdain, never ever make a mockery of the sunnat way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many have done it, so many stories are in my mind to mention, time is limited, of how people destroyed the barakah in their lives. People got destroyed and punished in this world when they mocked one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One hadith, one verse of the Quran Sharif. It takes us to the brink of kufr and disbelief under the fall of Islam. Never ever. If you do not practice on it, it's a different matter. It's your weakness. But never make the statement, I can't understand this hadith. I can't adapt it in today's times, the modern times, not the camel ages. Never ever make the statement. There's a tantamount to leaving the fold of Islam. Dangerous statements. Never make a mockery of it. How this can be sunnah? How this can be the way? Look at these people. They are wearing their small brother's pants and big brother's kurtas. And they're doing this and doing that. Make mockery of the sunnah way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So azmat and respect must be in our hearts all the time. Verbally, from our hearts in every way. And with the intention of practice. The Darus Sharif in plentiness in our life. The more we will read, the more that Darus Sharif will bring nur in our hearts. Illuminate our hearts, barakat in our lives, and help us in the akhirat also. Each Darus Sharif you recite, one is you get 10 thawab and 10 rewards. Secondly, you are elevated in Jannah 10 stages, and 10 sins are forgiven. 30 already. 10 sins are forgiven, 10 stages elevated in Jannah, and 10 mercies come upon a person, 10 thawab a person gets. What great rewards they are. The dhikr meaning the salawat and durood all the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sixth being fikr. What concern he had that everybody must be saved from Jahannam and brought into Jannah. Everybody must be saved from other Islam, other religions, other isms, and brought into Islam and go to Jannah. This was his fikr all the time. Should be our fikr. And the last being ziyarat. Whenever we can, within our means, to visit his Rawdah Mubarak and present our salawat and durood and salam at his Rawdah Mubarak. Mentioned the hadith that a person who man zarani ba'da hayati fa ka'annama zarani fi hayati wajabat lahu shafa'ati. So many narrations mentioned that if a person visits Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Rawdah Mubarak after he's passed away, as do while he's alive, and his intercession becomes compulsory for us. So these seven rites we bring it. This is just the basics. There's so much to be spoken about on this topic. Hours and hours we can spend on this topic. Just of his brothers. Let us adopt his lifestyle in our lifestyle. And that too, in every facet and every walk of our life. That will bring us barakah, success, mercy, happiness, joy, peace of heart, contentment, etc. in this world and most certainly in the akhirat. Wa akhirat alhamdulillah.